Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Embrace. So grateful that you have come and chosen to worship the Lord today here with this family on Pentecost. If you see the red around us, it is an exciting day. We are looking forward to worshiping and celebrating together today. If this is your first time with us, or if you are new here, please hear my welcome. I'm so glad that you are with us, and I hope you'll get a chance to talk to a few more folks here in just a few minutes. I just kind of want to orient us this morning. If you have not shared your information with us before and you are willing to do so this morning, you can use these great blue Connect cards that are in your pew. You can give us your info and tell us if you'd like to be on the email list, which is how you know what's going on around here. You can also tell us all sorts of things on the back, like you want to volunteer or you want a small group or you'd like to meet with the pastor. And you can always submit prayer requests on these cards as well. So if you want to fill one of these out, or if you'd like to give while you are in person this morning, there are boxes at the back of the sanctuary and over here to the side where you can put those physical items down in the boxes. You can also always send prayer requests anytime to prayer@embraceyourcity.com, or you can give online at embraceyourcity.com/give. So our prayer requests are kept confidential. Our prayer team lifts them up and holds them close. So know that you do not have to continue to carry your burdens alone this morning if you have come carrying and praying through something. I also would like to remind you that we have a stream of today's service that is available in the cafe, and that's the room directly out this door over here. So if at any point you need a sensory break or just having some space would be helpful, you are welcome to just get up and go to the cafe, and you can continue to participate in the service that way. I'll also encourage you to read the announcement handout. I'm not going to tell you everything that's on it this morning, but there is a handout on both welcome tables at either door. So if you missed it when you came in, feel free to grab it when you leave. This information also comes via email on Sunday morning. So that's that mail list if you want to check that box on your Connect card. And so without any further ado, we're going to get started on this Pentecost morning.
Amen. Good morning, everyone. It's great to be together on Pentecost Sunday. Let's stand up together. And man, I just hope we have a great worship time this morning. Let's lift up the name of Jesus. Let's invite the Holy Spirit into our space this morning. Here's our call to worship. O Lord, let my soul rise up to meet you as the day rises. And all who are thirsty, and all who are weak, just come to the fountain and dip your heart in the stream of life. Let the pain and the sorrow be washed away of his mercy. His deep cries out to deep, and we sing, come Lord Jesus, come. Come Lord Jesus, come, Lord Jesus, God. Come, Lord Jesus, God. Thirsty, and all who are weak,
to the fountain. Dip your heart in the stream of life. Let the pain and the sorrow be washed away. Cries out to thee.
Let's lift it up.
Then we sing, come, Lord Jesus, come. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Come, Lord Jesus.
Join in a Pentecost responsive reading this morning. Holy Spirit, Lord and giver of life, at the beginning of time you moved over the face of the waters. You gave every living thing the breath of life. Come, Creator Spirit, and renew the whole creation. Holy Spirit, voice of the prophets, you inflame men and women with a passion for your truth. And through them you call your people to the ways of justice and compassion. Come, Spirit of righteousness, and burn in our hearts. Holy Spirit, Spirit of Jesus, by your power Jesus came to bring good news to the poor and release to those held captive. Come, liberating Spirit, and free us from the powers of sin and death. Holy Spirit, Advocate, Teacher, you speak to us of our Lord and show us the depth of his love. Come, Spirit of truth, abide in us and lead us in the way of Jesus Christ. Holy Spirit, wind and flame, you filled disciples with joy and courage, empowering them to preach your word and to share your good news. Come, Spirit of power, make us bold witnesses of your redeeming love. Holy Spirit, Spirit of peace, you break down barriers of language, race, and culture, and heal the divisions that separate us. Come, reconciling Spirit, and unite us all in the love of Christ. Holy Spirit, Lord and giver of life, at the close of the age, all creation will be renewed to sing your praises. Come, Creator Spirit, and make us new creations, in Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. As we invite the Spirit to continue to come and to work among us anew and afresh this morning, let us spend a few moments connecting with one another. We're going to share our gratitude and lament, and all that means to this congregation is that we are going to give our whole selves to each other and to the Lord this morning in worship. So if you've come with something to celebrate, please share that this morning. If you've come carrying something heavy, there's room for that too. It's not one or the other, often it's both. So feel free to share, and in a few moments we'll come back together and continue to sing some worship together.
Thank you.
All right, everyone, I invite you to stand together. Let's continue our worship time. We've invited the Spirit into this place, and I think the Spirit is here with us.
Yes. Thank you, Lord.
Let's open up our hearts in gratitude. This is a new song. We've not done it before, but man, I like it. It's called Living in the overflow of the Spirit. There's more than enough. There's abundance in the Spirit. So let's sing this out this morning. Living in the overflow, I'm covered by your love, moving with the Holy Ghost. You're more than enough. I'm walking in your freedom now. I'm covered by your grace, witnessing the healing power. That we have been changed. We have been changed. Bless the Lord. Oh my soul, I am living. You are the sovereign one. You've given us your name. We declare your kingdom come. Forever you reign. I'm living in the overflow. The bound are now set free. And everywhere we go, we see the victory. Sing it. The victory. You'll bless the Lord. Oh, my soul. Oh, bless the Lord. No, my soul, I am living in the overflow. Oh, bless the Lord. Oh, my soul, I am living in the overflow. Bless the Lord. No, my soul. Living in the overflow.
Feel it in my bones, you're about to move. I feel it in the wind, you're about to ride it. You said that you would pour your spirit out. You said that you would fall on sons and daughters. So that you would pour your spirit out. You said that you would fall on sons and daughters. So like the rain come catch us in love. Let your glory rush in like a flood. Your kingdom come. I can hear it now, the sounds of heaven. You said that if we ask, we'll receive. So we are asking for the greater measure. So like the rain, come to drench us in love. And let your glory
I'm
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Can y'all hear me all right? I just want to give God thanks and honor for waking me up this morning, giving me another day. I thank God for this church. If it wasn't for this church, I wouldn't be here. I thank God for the love of this church that they have for all people. But this song that I'm going to sing is called I Know I've Been Changed. God began to change me 26 years ago, fell back a few times, but now I'm back to do what God has called me to do. As I was reading the Bible, when Jesus sent out the 7 disciples that came, the 70 disciples that came back, and they was happy because he gave them power over everything. But Jesus said this, be thankful that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I'm going to sing this song. You ready? 1, 2, 3, 4. I know I've been changed. Come on, clap, y'all. Come on. Come on. I know I've been changed. I know I've been changed. I know I've been changed. The angels in heaven done signed my name. I know I've been changed. I know I've been changed. I know I've been changed. The angels in heaven done signed my name.
Find this picture right here. I know I've been changed.
Come on.
The angels and I know I've been changed. I know I've been changed. The angels in heaven done signed my name.
I stepped in the water to be baptized. The angels in heaven done signed my name. You know it chilled my body, but not my soul. Heaven done inside.
I know I've been changed. I know I've been changed. I know I've been changed. The angels in heaven done sign my name.
I went to the valley to pray. The angels in heaven done sign my name. My soul got happy. And I stayed all day. The angels in heaven done signed my name. Now,
I know I've been changed. I know I've been changed.
I know I've been changed. The angels in heaven done signed my name. We never practiced that song at all. We just did it. Thank the Lord.
Amen. Amen. Y'all can have a seat. Well, it's really good to be together today. It's good to be here on this Pentecost Sunday. It's the only Sunday we get to have our red banners, so it's great. Enjoy them while they last. They'll be here again next year. What we're going to do now is we're going to dismiss our kids for their time of learning in the Wonder Room. And so children 4 years old all the way through fifth grade in elementary school are invited to go to the Wonder Room. If you're a parent, you have a child in that age range and they've never gone before, please walk with them, introduce yourself to the teacher, make sure you have the correct paperwork filled out. But let's give our kids and our volunteers a big, big hand. We got a big crew today, it looks like. Dan, I know you want to go to the Wonder Room. You could sign up to be a volunteer. That's an option, you know. Talk to Christina about that. So before we enter into our time of prayer, I'll just remind you all of a couple of things. We do have announcement sheets when y'all come in. Please read through those. It's very helpful. to familiarize yourself with what's going on. We got an event next week before church at 9:30. If anybody is interested in talking more about the United Methodist General Conference that just happened down in Charlotte, North Carolina, a few weeks ago, and the outcomes of that, then we're going to have a short kind of gathering at 9:30 for anyone who wants to come. And I think Dustin's going to do a short presentation and then have a chance just to chat and ask questions and all that. That'll be before church next week. If you can't make that and you still want to talk, feel free to let me know. We can set up a meeting. Also, it looks like that we have covered most of what we need for Aldersgate, but it looks like three additional kids want to go. So we got our 20, which is awesome. I think we got one more this morning, so that's good. So I think we just need two more, actually, I know. And so if you are willing and interested in supporting a child to go to camp, we're going to be leaving in a couple weeks, so it's getting very close. And it's a great opportunity for kids from our community, from our church, to get to go and experience a whole week at camp. I'm very excited to go again this year. It's been quite a few years since I've been, so that should be a lot of fun. And then there's some information about our youth group schedule coming up for the summer and everything, and so just please read through those. And then today also is our, this is the third Sunday, I think it is, yes. This is the day that we collect food for our food pantry. We have a small food pantry here at our church where we give out food bags and snack bags on Monday nights at the end of our kind of evening that we share on Monday nights together. We found that a lot of people are really struggling just to meet like basic needs right now, let alone things like housing and stuff like that, which are just massive issues that people are facing. And we can't solve all of them, but we're really trying to do our best to be good neighbors and good support to a lot of folks right here in our own community. And so this food pantry is a way that we can make a small difference in somebody's life. We have people who come by throughout the week just very hungry, in need of food, people sleeping in various places outside or in other homes that aren't their own, and just really need the help. And so this food pantry is a huge, huge blessing to people. And we've been going through it pretty quick lately. And so we're wanting our church to have this tradition, the third Sunday of the month, because we have a church that does the first Sunday of the month, Andover. It's a United Methodist church out of First UMC that meets at Andover out in that area. They provide food the first Monday of the month, and that can get us through a couple weeks. But now we need some help getting through the other couple weeks. And so if y'all could kind of get that into your head, put it in your calendar, bring food on May 19th. These green sheets have all the stuff you need. If you didn't bring anything today, no worries. You can bring it throughout the week. You can bring it tomorrow, any day. Just let us know, or just come by. Yeah, Laura is taking over, keeping our food pantry organized and stocked. And she says any day, every day, all throughout the year. So may not be people here, so make sure somebody's here if you're going to bring it by. But we're going to have a time of prayer this morning, like we do each week. And I just invite you all to prepare your hearts and your bodies and your mind and your spirit just to enter into a moment of prayer. We've had a lot of loud, awesome music this morning, had lots of kids in this space, and it's just been a really joyful experience. And now we're going to kind of move into a quieter experience and have some time of quiet. So if anybody would like to join me at the altar, you're welcome to do that. You can also pray in your seats. So I'm going to give us just some space to be quiet for a minute or two. And then I'd love to just read a section of scripture from Ezekiel 37 as a hopeful prayer for us this morning. I'd like to read a scripture from Ezekiel 37. The prophet Ezekiel spoke these words to his people who were suffering from exile and poverty, many of them victims of violence and destruction. Many of them were likely struggling to hold on to hope. Many of them were dealing with grief, fears. So hear these words this morning, this vision from Ezekiel, as an encouragement to you, as you may be seeking a healing touch from God. He says, "The hand of the Lord was on me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. It was full of bones. He led me back and forth among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry. He asked me, 'Son of man, can these bones live?' I said, 'Sovereign Lord, you alone know.' Then he said to me, 'Prophesy to these bones and say to them, Dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the Sovereign Lord says to these bones: I will make breath enter you, and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you, and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord." Lord, we come to you this morning, and in many ways it feels like we're living in a valley of dry bones. We look around us and we see death, we see suffering, we see pain, we see tragic war and loss of life. We see people who are struggling just to get by, people who are struggling to get up in the morning, struggling to find a reason to live. And God, we pray this morning on this Pentecost Sunday, this day when we remember the great gift of your Spirit, how the Spirit came extra close to us and filled us. On this Pentecost Sunday, Lord, we pray that these dry bones could live. We pray for healing. We pray for restoration. We pray for beauty, creativity, and joy, and new life to continue to spring up around us. Lord, we need you so much. We need you. God, I also pray that you would help us to be able to perceive what is really going on around us, that we could have eyes to see the true horror of it all, but also the hope and the beauty that is springing up around us, that we would not get so consumed by all the pain and suffering that we lose sight of the ways that you are working, that your Spirit is moving, that we would also have faith, God, courageous trust in the mystery of your Spirit moving in unforeseen ways. We could have that courageous trust that you are working even when it's hard to see. As we wait for you to return, as we wait for your promises to be fulfilled, we pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would move in us and work in us and sustain us and encourage us and comfort us and even hold us when we cannot walk on our own. That your Spirit would unify us and bring us together, bond us to one another, so that we don't have to walk this journey alone. Oh, Jesus, we pray that you would walk with us step by step by step on this journey of life that often is so beautiful and good and all too often is really, really hard. God, we need you, and we pray you would meet us now. Just as those first believers that heard the word from Peter on Pentecost Sunday, when they heard that word of life and that word of challenge, just as they were convicted and challenged and moved and change, Lord, we pray we could experience something similar today. That we would wake up a little more to what it is you're calling us to do. We'd wake up a little more to see ourselves the way you see us. That we'd wake up a little more to experience that all-consuming, transforming love that you have for us and for our neighbors and for the rest of this creation. Lord, we need you so much. We pray you would meet us now. Now we join together and pray this prayer that Jesus taught us, his disciples, to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Amen. Well, this morning, if you haven't picked up on it yet, we've said it a few times, it's a special holiday in the Christian calendar. It's a day called Pentecost. And it's a really just beautiful, important day. It's, you know, if you remember the story of Jesus' life, he was born, he grew up around the age of 30 or so, he began his ministry. Lived and worked and did his ministry for about 3 more years. Then Jesus was arrested, wrongfully convicted, and executed by crucifixion by the Roman Empire. We know 3 days later he rose from the dead. He spent quite a few more days with his disciples and those who had followed him, encouraging them and teaching them about the kingdom of God. And then on this particular day, he was with them and he gave them some final words, and then he was taken up into the clouds. And he disappeared in front of their eyes. And he told them before he left, he said, I want you to go to Jerusalem, and I want you to wait. I want you to wait for the promised gift. I'm going to give you the gift of my Spirit. They had no idea what they were waiting for exactly, but they were praying. They were in Jerusalem. All the believers, it said, were in one place. And eventually, this pretty miraculous, wild, chaotic day happened, where the Holy Spirit descended. They heard this loud sound that sounded like a roaring, violent wind. And then some flame appeared in the house, and it started to rest on each of them, is the way they describe it in the story. And then after that, they went outside, and they started to preach. And Peter stood up, and he preached a powerful sermon. And we're going to talk about today a little bit about that sermon, and particularly about how the people responded to that sermon after it was preached. This sermon's going to be a little strange for you, because I'm going to weave in and out of the story and scripture and also some events and things that happened 4 years ago. The most meaningful Pentecost I've ever had was during the pandemic in 2020, which was a really hard year. And I'm going to talk a little bit about why that Pentecost was so impactful for me, and I'll never forget it, and also kind of why I think this story still is speaking to us today, and many of the things we talked about 4 years ago on Pentecost, I believe have impacted us, but I believe we still need to hear the message that we heard back then today, because I think this story still has some challenge for us this morning. Just to warn you, we're going to talk about some issues around race this morning, around some issues in our nation concerning our original sin of racism and white supremacy that we are still dealing with here as a nation. So get ready for it. It's going to be fun. 4 years ago, on May 25th, 2020, a man named George Floyd was brutally murdered by Officer Derek Chauvin in a crowded city in broad daylight. Emergency workers, other officers were present, and nobody really did anything to intervene and stop Chauvin from suffocating the life from George Floyd's body. The video was made public. Many of you all probably saw it. And the world just kind of erupted after that video in protest around what was going on, literally all across the world. It was something just miraculous thing to watch, to be honest. Shortly before George Floyd was killed, there was Ahmaud Arbery, there was Breonna Taylor, many others that we don't know the names of. And all this was happening during a pandemic that, as you may have forgotten, but it was disproportionately impacting communities of color in America. Coronavirus didn't discriminate, but we do as a society, and it was impacting people in profound ways. And in that moment, for myself and for many of you all, many white people in particular in America, I feel like did wake up for a moment. And they got a glimpse of just this sickness and disease that our society still has not reckoned with and not properly dealt with throughout history. So the video of George Floyd's murder went public the week leading up to Pentecost Sunday. Now, we were all stuck in our homes during that time, during the pandemic, watching with horror as this white officer took this black man's life. And I prepared a Pentecost sermon for Pentecost Sunday. We were preaching online back then, and I had prepared it. I was ready to preach it, but it just didn't feel right, and it didn't feel like the message that I believed I needed to hear first off. It wasn't the message I needed to hear, and if it's not a message I need to hear, then I shouldn't think that you all probably want to hear it either. And so I really felt like I needed to change what I was going to share. It did not meet the moment. So I went back to Acts chapter 2 on that particular week, and I started reading it again and paying attention to the story, reread Peter's sermon that he gives, and paid attention to how the crowd responded to this sermon with an open mind on how the Spirit might lead. After the Spirit came down, Peter stood up and he preached a sermon. And in his sermon, Peter talked about another man who was brutally murdered by the state, Jesus of Nazareth. Just like George Floyd, Jesus of Nazareth was crucified by fearful and power-hungry people. And Peter made it plain, acknowledging really that all of them were complicit in their rejection of Jesus and his prophetic message, and that they were all complicit in allowing a society to flourish that could murder its prophets in broad daylight. And Peter warned them. He said, save yourselves from this corrupt generation. That's a message we could hear today, right? 4 years ago on Pentecost, one thing I noticed is that many white Christians across America heard that call to save themselves from the corrupt generation, and they tried to start applying it to what they were experiencing. We certainly live as part of a corrupt generation today that is still infected by this awful disease of racism and white supremacy. And the Spirit convicted many of us, and we opened our eyes a little bit more to the reality of systemic racism in this country. After Peter's sermon, Luke tells us that the people who heard his sermon, he says that they were cut to the heart. That's powerful imagery there. They were cut to their heart. I believe the people who heard Peter's message, they heard him preach, they recognized in that moment their part in their society, in this system, in this way of being that allowed crucifixions to happen. Even more so, that allowed crucifixions to happen like to people like Jesus, who only wanted the world to experience peace and justice and love. To be cut to the heart is to be convicted by the Holy Spirit. Has anybody ever been convicted by the Holy Spirit before? I have. I truly have. And I'll tell you, it doesn't always feel good, right? Sometimes it hurts. Imagine having your heart cut. It's not something I ever want to experience. Some of y'all have maybe had surgeries where they have to put you under and give you lots of pain meds. It's a hard, difficult thing to be cut in any way. That would hurt. But conviction also hurts. It is painful to see how we have harmed others, how we've harmed ourselves. It's painful to see clearly how we have dishonored God's desire for us and God's design for our world. It's really hard to have that uncomfortable mirror held up in front of us, right? We don't really want to have to look at that, but sometimes we need to. And back in 2020, I remember many of us, myself included, we tried to hold up the uncomfortable mirror, right? We tried to lean in, and many of us were convicted and cut to the heart. We acknowledged our complicity, our apathy, our inaction, our willful ignorance, our silence in the face of terrible atrocity. This crowd in Acts 2, they experience conviction. And then they ask a really important question. They said, brothers, what shall we do? They were talking to Peter and the other apostles. They're like, we've heard what you said. We feel conviction. Now, what should we do about it? What an important question to ask, right? Often we experience conviction, but we never actually get to that question, right? Of asking, well, what should we do about the conviction that we experience? Sometimes people I know, I used to do that, show up to church, just want to get beat up a little bit, you know, made to feel guilty, and then I walk away and never ask the question, what do I need to do about it, right? But they ask the question, what shall we do about it? All too often we feel cut to the heart, and we fail to ask the question, what shall we do now? Back in 2020, this question was asked by a lot of people. Some people asked the question because they felt convicted, and they're like, What am I going to do about this? I need to do something. I don't know what to do. Help me. I want to learn what to do. I want to know how to change and make a difference. Other people asked the question, what shall we do? Because they felt pressure from the protesting and the activism. And they started asking, well, what are we going to do about this? Because everything's turned upside down. But nonetheless, people were asking, what shall we do? We've seen injustice. We've seen the violence. We've seen this racism. What shall we do about this? Well, Peter, back then, 2,000 years ago, when the crowd asked a similar question, he gave them a very simple and straightforward answer. He said, repent and be baptized. Repent and be baptized. Now, repentance, we often think of repentance meaning we feel bad about something and we say, I'm sorry, and we move on. But repentance is way more than that. Repentance ultimately means to turn. It means to move in a different direction. It means to change. First, we have to acknowledge our guilt, right? We got to admit that we're wrong, but then we need to turn around and move in some different direction. We repair damage that's been done. We live differently. He said, be baptized. The whole image of baptism is being, it's dying to old self and being raised to a new life, to a new person. Jesus told someone in the Gospel of John that they needed to be born again. And I remember, He asked Jesus, like, why do I need to be born again? That doesn't make any sense. Should I enter my mother's womb again and be born? He's like, no, you need total life change. We need to start over. We need to be transformed. To repent is no less than changing your life. That's not an easy thing, right? That's not a one-time event. Back in 2020, many people had a true desire to change their lives. I believed it. I saw it. I felt it. To allow God's Spirit to work in them and reshape them and change them. Church committees were formed to address injustice and racism. Christians joined protesters on the street. City councils formed action committees to look at policing and racial inequities. White people bought lots of books and maybe read a few of them, trying to learn and grow. There was a spark of action and change. However, what I noticed, and I'm guilty of this in many ways myself, few continued to fan the flame. They received a spark from the Spirit, that spark of conviction, but then the spark fizzled and was completely extinguished in many, many places. One of my friends, she's been very active and vocal, pushing the city council around an issue of these flock cameras that have been installed throughout our city. Many of them in our neighborhood, you look at the map, and most of them are in lower-income communities of color. And these cameras are meant to take pictures of license plates and all this stuff. Then they started to implement this system, trying to tap into the cameras people have in front of their homes, the security cameras, so they have a unified system to kind of surveil the city. And she was challenging the city council on this, that the proper due diligence has not been done to make sure that this is used effectively and does not impact people who have been hurt throughout history in this nation over and over and over again. And she really challenged them. She called them out on this, and she really called them out for this stuff and was really saying, like, hey, you formed all these committees many years ago after George Floyd to try to look at all this stuff, and it's like we've forgotten that even happened. So often that spark for change, there's a few that are carrying it on, but there are many more that just let it fizzle out, and it doesn't last very long. It doesn't keep that imagination going. It lacks a willingness to take risk. Immediately after Peter's sermon, the crowd's response to his sermon is very fascinating. And so after his sermon, the crowd responds, they repent, they're baptized, but then Luke then gives us a summary of what the church did after that. And here's what it says. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs God performed
or that were performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions and gave to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes. They ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. So on Pentecost, people then were cut to the heart. They experienced the Holy Spirit conviction. They asked Peter, what should we do next? He told them to repent, so they repented. They got baptized. They reoriented their life around the teachings and example of Jesus. Then instead of letting the flame just kind of fizzle out, they fanned that flame so it grew. And notice what the text says. They devoted themselves. They devoted themselves. They persevered in their commitment to this new way of living and existing in the world. And they did it in community with each other. There was accountability. There was shared commitment. There was shared work together. And so the Spirit provided the spark of change, and then the people then partnered with the Spirit and with each other to fan that flame and nurture this new way of life in Christ. It was not something that happened once. It was not a one-time emotional experience. It was, no, now we got to put in the work, and we got to persevere in our faith and continue on this path of being transformed and changed into the likeness of Jesus. And they did it together with each other, alongside other Christians all over the world. This is what John Wesley, the founder of Methodism, called sanctification. It's this process of becoming molded and shaped into being more and more like Jesus. Conversion, I think we've got it wrong thinking conversion is a one-time event. It's a lifelong process of moving with Jesus in the same direction of being molded and shaped into his image. They devoted themselves. They persevered. And I'm talking specifically about one issue that I think is related to what it means to be a Christian. But I can say this as a white Christian. And I will say on the whole, and I can say this because I'm one of them, white Christians have not persevered very well in being shaped into the image of Jesus, especially when it concerns issues of racism and economic justice, social justice, and peace. Very quickly, we allowed ourselves to kind of just go about the business. The early Christians devoted themselves to four things, and I want to just mention each of them briefly and then ask you to reflect for a moment yourself on maybe one of these that you think you might need to devote yourself to a little bit more fully. First off, they have devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. They submitted themselves to learning a new way of seeing and being in the world. They submitted themselves to this lifelong journey of learning. You could call it a school of conversion. It was not like, I go to church, I have a powerful experience, I'm converted. No, we are on this journey of being changed and transformed. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. What were the apostles' teaching? Well, they were teaching about Jesus, right? They were instructing about a new way of life. They were mentoring new Christians in how to live in this countercultural way that embodied the things that Jesus stood for in this world. And embodied all the things that people Jesus stood with, right? And so they were teaching people how to live in the way of Jesus. And that's not a one-time thing. You got to devote yourself to that because this world is going to teach you a totally different way. There is another spirit in this world, and I don't know what we can call it exactly, but in America we got the spirit of greed and of wealth and of power that is teaching us a way that looks nothing like what the spirit of Jesus is wanting to teach us. So we have to devote ourselves to a different way of learning because we are being taught every day, whether we like it or not, a way of being in this world. And the way of Jesus often is very different from that way. And we've got to devote ourselves to learning how to take these ancient scriptures and teachings and apply them to our life today. In the early church, at least when they got it right, this is what they were doing. The second thing, they devoted themselves to the fellowship. Now, fellowship is a word. We have our fellowship hall. We think of it a place. We get together. We hang out. We eat food. That's great, right? Fellowship is way more than just sharing fun time with friends. The word in Greek is koinonia, which has been used a lot in our culture, but koinonia means to share or to partner together. So koinonia is more about partnership. Think about a business partnership. You share the responsibility for the business. You share the profits. You share the losses. Koinonia is about sharing life, sharing wealth, sharing resources and gifts and connections. And that's what they did. They committed themselves to sharing, literally sharing their money. They redistributed their wealth. We talk about that today, they'll call you a communist and say, get out of here, right? But that's what the early church did. They pooled resources. If people had more than others, they'd say, well, I got more. I can help support this person who needs extra help because they can't make it in this world. We need to do more of that kind of thing as a church. And we do that already, but we need to do more of it where those of us who have more share with those who don't have enough, and we try to help everyone have a life of a life of flourishing here in this community. You know, we don't usually think of repentance and baptism being associated with how we use our money and resources, but it is. And perhaps we don't think about it because money is such an idol for us in this country, right? We don't think when you're baptized here on a Sunday morning that now you need to think about how you're going to spend your money and how you're going to share your wealth. But honestly, that's what the early church did. As soon as they received the Spirit, they repented, they were baptized, they started sharing their stuff with each other and making sacrifices for one another. The third thing they devoted themselves to was the breaking of bread. So they literally ate meals together, they spent time together, they worshiped together, they shared Holy Communion together. And the key word here is together. Luke tells us that they went to the temple every single day together. I don't need to say a lot about this because we all know too well that our lives are way too busy to actually spend time together. That we need a radical reorientation of our lives. And I need it in my life. I struggle with this. To have more margin in our lives for connection and friendship and support and time with other followers of Jesus. The early church, they persevered in being together. The fourth thing is they devoted themselves to prayer. They continued to say their Jewish prayers, many of them. They prayed in new creative ways as the Spirit led them. They cultivated their inner life. They dug deep and they spent time in solitude, nurturing their souls. And we need that in our lives too, don't we? Keep in mind, they did these things together with each other, with the Holy Spirit. In our highly individualistic society, it's no wonder that we struggle to persevere in our new life with Jesus. It's no wonder that we struggle to be shaped into the image of Jesus. It's no wonder that our spark that we have in our lives for change often fizzles so quickly because we often just try to do it on our own and we don't do it together in community. I want to ask you all some questions to consider as we kind of wrap up this message, and I want y'all to think about this, and maybe you need to really think through this. This is going to be something that's going to take some time. But the first question is, what cuts your heart? What cuts your heart? And I shared very specifically about race, because that's something that I've been having to learn and unlearn and deal with and reconcile in my own life over the last many, many years. As a white person seeking to be a leader and a follower of Jesus in this nation. But what's cutting your heart? What breaks your heart? What do you need to think through? What is the Holy Spirit convicting you about? How is the Holy Spirit breaking your heart as you encounter the tragedies and the suffering and pain in this world? When you look at your life, what isn't lining up, right? The second question is, what does repentance look like for you? What areas of your life need to be converted and changed? How is the Spirit leading you right now at this point in your life to look more like Jesus? For me, really going all the way back to 2015, 2016, I've been on a journey of trying to deal with what it means to be white, what it means to try to push against all this stuff and unlearn the things that are just deep inside of me that I've been taught in this culture. For you, what is the Spirit leading you to begin that journey or continue on that journey of conversion? It might be something different for you that this moment is speaking to you right now in your own life. might be the way that you parent. It might be the way that you care for your spouse or don't care for your spouse. So many things that the Spirit may be calling you to repentance and for change. And the third question is, how might you persevere in your new life with Christ? Because it's one thing to know it and to say, I need to change, but how are you going to persevere in that? How are you going to do that perseverance in conversion? What areas need some focus for you right now? And I'm just going to put the four up there again for you to see. Maybe it's the apostles' teaching that you need to focus on, learning and growing in your understanding of the way of Jesus. Maybe you need to get with other people, read scriptures, talk about this stuff, listen to some things together and then talk about them. Maybe you need to start learning, asking for a mentor. Maybe you need a spiritual director. Maybe you need to just really dig in and continue to learn about what it means to be a follower of Jesus. The second one, the fellowship. You know, building friendships of sharing and support and accountability and connection across boundaries of difference. Maybe that's something you really need to focus more on. It's how you can share your life with other people, particularly other people that maybe you wouldn't normally share your life with. Third one, breaking of bread, rhythm of being together with other Christians, challenging our individualistic, isolated society. And then the fourth one is prayer, connecting with God and the Spirit through spiritual practices, through things like therapy and trying to become healthy, working on your inner life, discovering yourself more deeply. Those are things that sustain us in our journey. So which one of those maybe needs some focus for you? Maybe you say, I need all four of them. I know I do. Maybe just pick one to focus on for this season of your life. Let's just take a moment of quiet. Y'all can think just for a minute, reflect, and maybe pray that God would open your heart to maybe hear a direction that God may be leading you this morning. If y'all would pray with me. God, thank you so much for your love, for your grace, for your mercy. Some of us probably remember that time when we decided we wanted to follow Jesus. Some of us may remember that time when we were baptized in those waters of baptism and we were raised up and we were so excited about this new life with Christ. And I imagine all of us who claim the Christian faith here, you know, we know, and even those who don't, we know what it's like to set out on a journey and have a goal and a vision and then know what that feels like for it to fizzle and for that spark to just die out and the flame to feel like it's extinguished and gone for our lives. We know what it's like for that spark of change just to dry up. And we thank you that the Spirit is with us, breathing life into us each and every day. And we pray, Lord, this morning that we could harness the power of the Spirit to sustain us and help us to persevere in this journey of transformation and healing and wholeness and holiness that we are on together. And help us to have the courage to open our hearts to be cut with that spirit of conviction, that we would be willing to look at the uncomfortable mirror and see the ways that we are not living into the path, God, that you have called us to walk down. Help us to have the courage, Lord, to see that. And then also, Lord, give us wisdom and discernment on how we can work with you and your Spirit and with each other to persevere in our faith and to enter that school of conversion where we are slowly but surely over time being changed and transformed more and more into the image of Christ. Lord, we want to be people who are full of love for you and for our neighbor. And whatever that means, Lord, help us have the courage to accept the challenge from your Spirit to move in that direction of change. We pray for this Holy Communion we're going to share together. We pray that this could be a nourishing experience for us, that we would be reminded that as we share this every week, that you are with us every week, forgiving us, showing us grace, helping us get back up when we fall down. Help us to realize that we stand on a solid foundation of your love and we don't have to worry or be afraid or be consumed with shame, but we can walk in freedom knowing that you are with us, patient as ever with us, walking with us as we get distracted and take so long to get to the destination. Thank you, Lord, that you are with us through it all. You're like that loving parent walking with us no matter what. Lord, we love you so much. Be with us now. In Jesus' name, amen. I'll invite those who are helping me serve communion to come forward. You know, this image came back to me the other day as I was walking with my 2-year-old son. If y'all have ever been on a walk with a 2-year-old, it's a painful experience. You can't get anywhere. You tell them to move faster, they go slower. It's awful and beautiful all at the same time. But I had this image years ago on this when I was walking with a nephew of mine. I feel it even more real now as a parent. But I believe that's how God is with us, honestly. I think God is that parent that is so patient with us. And we just get so distracted. We move out about and get into all sorts of different things, and God's just so patient with us. Saying, hey, I'm here. Take your time. And I always want to say that if we're talking about conviction or the way the Spirit challenges, because just know that God's grace is real. God's love is so much bigger than anything we could ever imagine. And God is walking with us on this journey. So you may feel like you've got it wrong so many times and you've let that flame die out. But know that God's there saying, hey, come on, I'm still with you. Let's move on. Let's get on with it now. And I'll be with you through it all. This morning, we're going to share communion, but you'll form 2 lines down the center aisle as you come forward. Just have your hands open to receive the bread and the juice. Your server will tear off a piece of bread for you. They will dip it in the cup for you, and then they'll place it in your hand. We have Kleenex if you need that. Altar's open if you'd like to spend some time in prayer. I'd be happy to talk with you as well. Rick is always in the back, there to pray with folks in the back of the room if you prefer to go back there and seek prayer. He's wearing an orange shirt, I believe. He'd be happy to pray with you. But everybody's welcome to join us for communion. You don't have to be a member of our church. You don't have to have it all figured out. You're all welcome, but no pressure. We do have gluten-free options if you need that. Just let your server know. You're invited to come whenever you feel led.
My heart and my soul,
Lord, I give you control. Consume me from the inside out, Lord. Let justice and grace become my embrace, to love you from the inside. Your light will shine when all else fades, never ending. Your glory goes beyond all fame, and the cry of my heart is to bring you praise from the inside out, Lord, my soul. Cries out.
Let's stand and sing this together. In my heart and my soul.
In my heart and my soul, Lord, I give you control. Consume me from the inside out, Lord. Let justice and praise become my embrace, to love you from the inside out. And everlasting, your light will shine when cries out from the inside out, Lord, my soul cries out.
Amen. Well, thank you all so much for being here today. I pray that if there was any spark that was lit inside of you from anything that you experienced this morning, I pray that we would all devote ourselves to doing our part, fanning that flame and letting the community help us with that as we seek to be people who are led by a different spirit, led by the Spirit of the living God, the Spirit of Jesus that is moving and working throughout this world, leading this world to a place of healing and restoration and redemption. And my hope is that we can all be a part of that, because that's a beautiful thing to be a part of. It's God's work here in this world. So if y'all prepare your hearts to receive the benediction, may the love of God the Father, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all, now and forever. Amen. Go in God's peace. We'll see you next time.